Hello. Testing 1, 2. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. What am I doing? Well, I'll tell you what, I overslept this morning, and I haven't had a chance to drink my coffee and have a conversation, so I'm using my voice for the very first time. I actually ended up waking up at 8:38, and that's moving to get here on time. But I'm on time. My guest was well above, well on time. And we're going to have a lot of fun today because I just love to have live musicians in studio. And I have a lady in studio that brought her fiddle, and her name is Anna Chance. And I said that right, didn't I?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. You can have your earphones if you'd like. And we'll listen to a little bit of Duane Eddy in the background as I settle in. There, my first cup of coffee on KYMN Radio's Wayne Eddy Affair this morning. Now, you look awfully familiar, Anna Chance.
Yes.
I think I've seen you before. I think you have been on my show before, haven't you?
I was on your show one time otherwise.
A long time ago.
Yeah, a couple months.
Yeah, a couple months?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that. Oh, well. Anyhow, you brought your fiddle, and I'm happy to hear that. And I have seen you perform at various places around town.
Oh, perfect.
And so that'll be fun to hear that. And we'll also find out all about your young life. You're just a young lady. You look like you're about 24 years old.
25.
Nice clothes.
Yep.
I used to work in a carnival and guessed ages and weights. I won't do the weight thing, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
So 25 years old, so that means that you're getting into what we call middle age, what I call middle age.
Mm.
Because if you live to be 75, 1 through 25 is youth, and 26 through 49, 50 is middle age, and then after that you're old like me.
I'd never thought of myself as middle-aged before.
That's
but I
why
guess I am.
I bring it up, but actually women live close to 80 years old, so You got a couple of more years before you're actually in between all of those things. Take your coat off and stay a while. That's a pretty scarf you're wearing.
Thank you.
Do you make those?
I sure do.
And what is it? Tell me about it, because I know it's not tie-dye, but it's very colorful. Do you have two scarves on?
I have two scarves on. One I made, one I didn't.
Okay.
The one I made is the very colorful one. So what I do is I paint on silk. I have a studio space in Faribault at 213 Central Avenue at the Upper East Side Gallery. And I teach classes and host parties and workshops. Teach classes for Girl Scouts or sports teams or mother-daughter painting events where they both share a scarf and paint it together. So I've been doing that for a couple of years now.
Sports teams?
Yep, sometimes get a soccer group in there or hockey group.
Just to learn to have discipline and concentration?
It's team building, or workshops like that.
All right. And we're going to get a chance to hear you play this morning?
That's correct.
Okay. And are you going to play Devil Goes Down to Georgia?
Nope. I have a couple tunes lined up here from a couple different genres.
Okay. And just a couple or more than that?
Just a couple, like maybe 6 or 7.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. All right. Now, why do you look so familiar? You've been a guest of mine before, but I think I used to see you as I would go to the back of the studios here and get a cup of coffee and come back. Wouldn't I say hello to you in the morning?
Yep. I used to work here.
That's right. You were a sales lady.
Yes, I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, okay. And did you go to Carleton?
I sure did. I graduated in 2015.
Okay. All right, so now I know a whole lot about you, but I never got your entire background. You want to start off doing something on the fiddle so people understand that the lady I have in studio is a good fiddle player?
Sure. I can start off with a tune called Gravel Walks.
The Gravel Walk. Now, is it necessary to have two microphones? Because this microphone here can be pulled over. And are you going to stand?
I think just one will be fine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Are you going to stand or sit?
I will sit.
Okay.
So this tune called Gravel Walks is also known as the Graveled Walks to Granny, and in Ireland, a granny is a remote, uninhabited glen where locals in Donegal used to summer their sheep. So in autumn, they would access the granny by climbing up the gravel walks. So this song is called Gravel Walks.
All right. It is 10 minutes after 9 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 1, 95.1 FM and 1080 AM. And Anna's taking off her earphones, and now she has chin to fiddle and bow in hand.
Here we go.
All right. A chance on the Wayne Eddy Affair on the, should I call it a fiddle or a violin?
Both are correct. If you play the fiddle, it's just a style of music, more improvisation and more Irish jigs and reels.
All right. On a chance, there's a fellow by the name of John, you know who I'm talking about.
John Hiscox?
I have so much trouble. John Hiscox, who is my music director. We're having a lot of fun with that, and he invited you to join me, and I appreciate that. But your last name is Chance, mm-hmm. And then there's a group called Chance Meeting. Is there a connection?
There's not a connection, but I first met John in the Chance Meetings about 6 years ago, and we definitely got a kick out of me having the same last name as his band.
Okay. So it was a chance meeting.
It was a chance meeting.
So tell me about that fiddle, if you will. It looks very old and like it's been used. I mean, it's not ugly or anything. It's a pretty unique looking instrument.
Yes, it's very old. Do you want to guess how many years old it is?
I am going to look at the finish on it and the various parts that you use, and I would say that what is this part right here called?
That's the chin rest.
Okay, what is this part called?
That is the fine tuning board.
I think those are relatively new, mm-hmm. But I would say that is 61 years old.
It's from 1713.
You're kidding me.
So over 300 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what the sticker inside says, at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you inherit it?
Nope, I bought it in Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people like myself think, well, that's got to be worth a whole lot of money. It's being over 305 years old.
Right. It might be worth a lot of money, but I'm not selling it anytime soon.
Okay. I mean, is it like insured for $10,000 or something?
Not insured, just kept safe.
Okay. Wow, that is really something. It looks old. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. 1713. Do you know who made it?
Let's see. The sticker inside.
They had stickers back in 1713?
Antonius Ceremonisus. That is who made it.
Antonio Ceremonisus?
Made in Czechoslovakia.
Czechoslovakia, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. And is that the standard size violin fiddle? It seems to me a little bit small.
That is the standard size.
Oh, okay. Wow. How long you had it?
I've had it for half my life, since I was 12.
And so was that a gift from your parents or your music teacher?
My mom bought it for me.
Wow. Yep. In Kansas City.
That's correct.
Where did she find it? 1713 is a long time ago.
Right. So what happened was we went to see one of my violin teacher's friends who collects fiddles and sells them. And so he had 5 or 6 fiddles that he had. And so we tried playing them and figured out which one sounded the best and had the best price and settled on this one.
Okay. Are we talking 5 figures?
No, not at all.
Okay. So that 1713 doesn't add a great deal of money to it, unless it was a Stradivarius.
Right.
But he wasn't even around in 1713, was he?
I'm not sure.
Neither am I. How about, do you play guitar?
I used to play a little guitar in college.
So who is your favorite violinist?
Ooh, probably Leahy, who is a violinist out of Canada.
Okay. When you were here one time when we were chit-chatting, was that the time I tried to look up the violin presentation of Hot Canary?
Yes, you did.
And you had never heard of it before.
That's right.
And then I played it. Did you end up liking that?
It was a very good piece. I liked the music.
Okay. It's 16 minutes after 9 o'clock. Let me talk about the QB, if I may. Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield. They are open for breakfast every morning, Monday through Saturday, from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And, of course, they serve the best and least expensive and the quickest served breakfasts in town. And they're also the home of, hey, you need a job catering? They do an excellent job catering. Whether it's for a holiday party or for a wedding or for a business meeting, they take care of business. They have all kinds of things on the menu for catering. So if you get a chance, work with the folks at the QB, locally owned, locally managed, the Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in downtown Northfield, Minnesota. If you just tuned in, good morning. It's 9:17, and we are going to chit-chat with this young lady for the next hour and 42 minutes, and we're going to find out all about her. First of all, I was going to write the name of the violin down, and I didn't do it because I don't know how to spell it. So do you call your violin anything like some people name their motorcycles or their violins, or they name their favorite things or cars? Do you have a name?
I actually don't have a name. I rarely name things. Even my 2 cats, someone else named them.
Oh, what are their names?
My 2 cats' names are Narcolepsy and Mr. Crinkles.
Narcolepsy and Mr. Crinkles.
Yep.
Okay, so one doesn't sleep and the other one runs into windows.
Apparently.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, Anna, as you know, in our conversation here, it's your show, and you can answer as long as you want, go into as much detail as you'd like. I'd like that. So let's start off with, where were you born?
I was born in Dearborn, Michigan.
Okay, I'm familiar with Dearborn, Michigan.
Are you?
Well, I am because it's, isn't it part of General Motors or Ford or...
Yep, a lot of car companies are up in that area.
Okay. How far is Dearborn from, let's say, downtown Detroit?
It's right in that same area.
Yeah. So was that a inner city, or was it a fancy neighborhood that the execs from the car companies lived?
Well, I think it was a pretty regular neighborhood, and I was just born there. I basically lived in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan after I was born for a couple of years, and then moved to Milwaukee soon after that, around age 4.
Okay. Well, thank you. We're getting the fan turned on. We have a fan club in the studio right now. Thank you. So, UP, mm-hmm. That's where it's winter.
Yep, it's definitely winter up there.
And what did your parents do for a living?
Well, back then, my dad was in school at Michigan Tech, and my mom was working at a bakery back then.
Making a lot of dough?
Making a lot of dough.
I suppose you needed it.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I can't resist those oldie but goodies. So your dad was going to school. Your mom worked in a bakery. Do you have siblings?
Not at all. I'm an only child.
An only child. And now you're 4 years old in the UP.
Mm-hmm.
And I would assume then that you ended up going to school. Did you start school in Upper Peninsula, UP?
I started school when I moved to Milwaukee at Montessori School.
Okay. And how old were you when you went to Milwaukee?
I was about age 4.
Okay, so your dad transitioned from the university to Milwaukee.
My dad moved to Detroit from the UP.
Okay.
My mom and dad got divorced when I was 4.
Oh, man. That's too bad.
Well, I don't know anything different, so yeah, it's all the same to me.
Well, I'm from a divorced family myself. And so did you have an opportunity to know both your parents as you were becoming a mean teen?
I sure did. I saw my mom all the time because I lived with her in Milwaukee, and I flew out to see my dad maybe once a year in Detroit.
Okay, now, Milwaukee, it's a nice town, and it's known for its beer, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you're growing up, did you live in a neighborhood, in a house, or did you live in an apartment, or walk up? Or
I lived in Whitefish Bay, Milwaukee, in a house.
In Whitefish Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a suburb of?
It is a suburb. So it's a suburb of Milwaukee.
How far from downtown Milwaukee?
About 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of nice, Whitefish Bay. They had their own school system.
Yep, they had their school system, but I went to Montessori school when I was up there.
Well, how long did you go to Montessori school?
I went to Montessori school until fifth grade, at which point I moved to Kansas City.
How far does Montessori school go? Do they only go up to the sixth grade or fifth or fourth? Or?
Yeah, typically they don't go much higher up than fifth grade.
Okay. So did you like that Montessori school experience?
I loved it. I love the hands-on learning and the community of people and how dedicated the teachers are to the students' growth and development. It really was an excellent experience.
The ratio of teachers to students, I suppose, was relatively small.
Yes, it was. There was a good number of teachers, and the classes weren't too big.
And when did you start the violin?
I started playing violin around age 12, so just after I moved to Kansas City.
And was that by desire or by kid you're going to learn to play an instrument?
Well, my mom and I were at the farmer's market, and there was a fellow there playing on the fiddle, and he sounded really good. And my mom said, would you be willing to teach my daughter how to play fiddle like you? And he said, sure, I don't really have any formal training, but I am an improvisational fiddler, so I'll teach her what I know.
Okay. Now, do you play both violin concertos, or do you play the fiddle both?
I mostly play the fiddle. I play jigs, reels, waltzes, polskas. I play Scandinavian music and some Irish music.
Now, are you Scandinavian?
I am not Scandinavian, but I look like it.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I got the blonde hair, but I'm German-Irish.
Okay. And that's not half bad. I say that in levity. I'm Irish.
Mm-hmm.
I have part Irish in me. And once again, if you just tuned in, 9:24 is the time. And Anna Chance is my guest here this morning. She is. Do you play with Last Chance?
I haven't played with them before, but I'm going to go see their performance on Sunday at 5:30 at the Moravian Church.
Okay. And are you in a band at the present, or were you?
No, not currently. I just play with the Northern Roots Jam on Monday nights at the cowl, and I sometimes play with the Irish group at the tavern, and I play some gypsy jazz jam on Sundays at the Hotspot.
The Hotspot, that's the new place up on 8th and Division?
Yes, and I have a painted violin for auction there, too.
And where did the painted violin come from?
Well, it's part of a group of people who are all coming together to paint violins for auction that proceeds will benefit repairing instruments for students in the local schools.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And are they functional?
They are not functional, but they look beautiful.
Are they off-the-wall colors, or are they nice and almost look like it's ready to play?
There's all different types there. There's some pieces that have glass taped to them, or birds' feathers, or have puzzle pieces painted on them, or women's faces. The piece I have there is black and white with a pop art feel to it. But you should check it out at the Hotspot. They're all in the window there.
Yeah. You know, you can almost drive right up and sit in your car and look in the window.
Yep. They used to be in the window of Swag, but they just recently moved.
Okay. And when is that auction?
The auction is ongoing. I think it has about a week left.
Okay. And so you just drop your auction bid off or call it in?
Yep.
And give the information, and if you're lucky, you get one of them. Are they going pretty good? Have you checked on the prices yet?
The pieces there are selling for anywhere between $50 to $300.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about yours?
I don't know if mine is sold yet. I haven't gotten an update.
Okay. Well, it won't be sold till the end of the auction.
Right.
I mean, you can't go in now and buy it, can you?
Well, you can if you want to buy it for $300.
Oh, okay. 927 on 1080 Radio. And my guest this morning is Anna Chance. And Anna is a fiddler, and she is not on the roof. She's right here in the studio. We're going to take a brief break and come back and find out more about Anna. And she was born and raised briefly in, let's see if I got this right, from Dearborn to UP to a suburb of Milwaukee to Kansas City.
That's correct.
Okay.
Good job.
We'll be right back.
If you're struggling with weight and frustrated with dieting each and every day, Mark Patrick Hypnosis can help. Join the over 500,000 people who have attended Mark Patrick Hypnosis programs with weight loss results. Mark Patrick Hypnosis will be in Northfield today. Make that New Year's resolution a reality.
After this hypnosis, I want to eat good food.
Since August, I can honestly say I have not had one potato chip.
It was life-changing for me.
And I don't think about desserts like I used to.
Bridget, how much have you lost now?
I had lost a total of 83 pounds.
Holy cow.
It's easy, it's fun, very relaxing, and very successful.
And I would just say go for it.
For only $49.99, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed. Today at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield. Seminar time is 5:30 to 7:30. Registration begins at 5 o'clock. Attend this program and find out how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your weight loss goals. There's limited seating, so get there early. Learn more at markpatrickseminars.com.
In studio, I have Anna Chance with me. And so far, Anna, I'm saying you're right, your name correctly.
Yes.
Okay. And she, of course, is a young lady that's talented, and she plays the fiddle or the violin. And I'm looking at a violin. Her violin is from 1713. That is really cool. You ever had to repair it since you bought it?
No, I haven't had to. It has two big cracks in it that came with it when I bought it that are almost fatal cracks, but it works just fine and sounds like a gem.
What's an almost fatal crack?
A crack that stretches from the top of the instrument about halfway down to almost the F-hole.
Where is it at? Can I see?
Yeah.
All right.
It's like right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see where it's not visible under normal circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Right along the fret lines or whatever you call those things.
Yep.
At 9:28, we're going to learn more about Anna. Let's see. Okay, so you were born in... Detroit area, then you moved to the UP, and then your parents got divorced at age 4, and then you went off to, that's when you went to Michigan, Wisconsin?
Yes.
Okay. And so that's when you went to the Montessori school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did your mom have a job? Did she have to work to keep things going?
Yeah, so my mom worked as a massage therapist in town, and she had her own practice. She was ranked number 2 best massage therapist in Milwaukee by the time her business was flourishing.
Wow. Now, did you learn that discipline?
I know a little bit about massage. Mostly I was the lucky or unlucky recipient of her massages growing up as she was learning the techniques. Most regrettably, chiropractic guinea pig at times, but otherwise I enjoyed being her daughter and getting to experience watching what it was like to run a small business.
Was that out of the home, or was it downtown in a little office?
It was based out of a little office.
Okay. So she had to go to work and you had to go to school.
Yes.
Who are you waving at?
Oh, Joanne.
Oh, okay. I'm nosy. I like to see that. There's a little window on the door here for the studio, and people can look in and wave at 9:30. Okay, so now your mom is giving you massages because she's practicing on you,
mm-hmm.
and that's got to feel good, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Yeah. So that was pretty nice that she would practice on you.
Mm-hmm. I was a lucky child.
Okay, then would you have to do it to her so she could get an idea how it feels?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. And then it was a good living for her?
Yes.
Okay. And so you ended up going to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
What was in Kansas City?
Well, my mom was moving down there. She wanted to go to some graduate school program down there for physical therapy.
Okay. So what grade were you in when you went to Kansas City?
I was in 5th grade.
Well, that was kind of hard to leave your friends, I would assume.
Yeah, it was a difficult transition. I wasn't exactly happy about moving down there, but I spent a good part of 8 or 10 years in Kansas City, and now I know that city better than Milwaukee.
Is it true that they have great barbecue?
They have barbecue joints everywhere, all over Kansas City.
Are you a fan of barbecue?
Sure.
Okay. So you could check them all out and find out which one was the best.
Yep.
Okay. So when you went to, you got out of elementary school, did you go to a private high school?
I went to public middle school, private high school.
And what was the name of the private high school?
The Pembroke Hill School. The Pembroke Hill School.
Okay. And what were they private about?
Well, they were a private college preparatory school, so I took a lot of AP courses and classes targeted toward college learning. It was a interesting school because their motto was freedom with responsibility, and you could leave the campus and do errands if you needed to. If you had a car, you could leave campus. They were generally open-minded about a lot of things and let students take on their own projects. When I was in high school, I had the opportunity to turn a studio space into a camera that was a walk-in camera. So you walk into this dark room, and there's a little glass showing with the light shining in from outside through a lens that projects the image of the outside on the walls upside down in color of that room. So it's like you're on the inside of a camera, and you can see the images from the outside moving around you.
Did you then paint it on the wall?
I could have painted it on the wall, but I just let it be an exhibit that just showed the light shining in.
And were you into the violin at the same time while you were in the prep school?
Yep, I was playing violin. I was playing with some jam sessions, so people would just get together and then either play music that they had made up or music that they were learning together.
Was there a high school band?
There was a high school orchestra, but I was not a part of it.
Orchestra, okay. Did they have team sports?
Yes, they did. I was on dance team and field hockey, and I also was a rower.
Wow.
Yeah.
In high school, you were a rower.
Yep.
What body of water did you row on?
We rowed on a man-made lake in the north part of Kansas City. All the lakes there are man-made, unfortunately.
Yeah. Pemberton, is that what you called it?
The Pembroke Hill School.
And was that kind of an elite school?
Yes.
Hard to get in?
Yep, hard to get into.
You have to have good grades,
mm-hmm.
and proper demeanor.
And take a test, yep. And,
okay. Was it both men and women, girls and boys?
Yes. My grade, though, was very skewed gender balance. So there were 70% guys and 30% gals. So for the school dances, oftentimes the gals would take two dates because the gender imbalance was so skewed.
Well, that's kind of nice.
Yep.
One could dance and one was handsome?
Exactly.
Okay. I hung around with a buddy when I was in high school, and he was very attractive to the ladies. Mm. He was a chick magnet, mm-hmm. and I danced, and he didn't. So we used to have fun going out to prom ballroom, other places like that. So you got your choice of two guys. One could dance, one was good looking. And what about class projects? Did you, besides the camera thing, did you perform in theater or play music for the theater group?
Basically, I was involved in the arts a lot as far as visual arts go. So I was the president of the photography club. Otherwise, I was helping to publish a student publication called The Garret, which featured student artwork and poetry and stories.
How many were in your class?
Just 100.
Okay. And tell me about your experience with cameras. I mean, we know about the big one that you become inside of it, mm-hmm. but do you recall what cameras you started with as a person that didn't know anything about cameras? And then how did you graduate, and what equipment did you use?
So we were using all kinds of different cameras. The first ones we were using, you'd take into the photo lab and use all the old methods of getting the image to come through with the solutions that you mix for it. And then otherwise, I was working with some digital cameras as well, and going out into the field and having people take pictures with objects and with each other. So I'd find two people that hadn't known each other before and say, would you be willing to hold this pink vacuum cleaner and pose and hold these coat hangers with shoes hanging off them? And they'd say, sure. And they would interact with each other, and people would have interactions they normally wouldn't. And I enjoyed facilitating those.
So did you have like a camera club?
Yep, just a photography club.
Okay, outside of the teacher, you had your own little club that you had. How many were involved in that?
Oh, maybe 10 people.
Okay. Now, you're just being a young lady at 26. I would imagine, did you get exposed to the old-style cameras that I would have known when I was 26?
No, I didn't get to work with cameras like that.
So yours were already up to the latest model, digital.
Yes.
Where you don't have to buy film.
For the most part. The first cameras I used in the photography courses I took, we were using film cameras, but then we moved on to digital.
Now, have you ever imagined to yourself when you were using that digital camera and the many shots that you took, how expensive that would have been on a regular film camera?
It's amazing to imagine. Consider all the pictures we take today on our phones, how many rolls and rolls of film that would take.
And, of course, the time to wait for them to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in that generation of instant gratification when it comes to photography.
Right. What are we going to do with all these pictures when we're older? We're going to have computers and computers full of pictures.
Yeah, I went into my phone place yesterday because I have an iPhone, and it said, your cloud is getting full, so many gigabytes or something. I have no idea what that meant. So I went in there, and he said, well, that your pictures are taking up a lot of space.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed me how to delete them. And most of the pictures are black because I take pictures while it's in my pocket accidentally. And then I take pictures of myself while I'm looking at the camera. Not on purpose. It just works. And so I got a bunch of pictures I don't need, so I got to erase them. Mm-hmm. However, I can do that. 22 minutes before 10 o'clock. Would you like to sit up and do another number?
Sure.
All right. I'll take a break while you're getting set up, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're listening to the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
You're tuned to 1080 AM radio for nearly 50 years serving Northfield, Minnesota, and now The One, 95.1 FM. And in studio on the Wayne Eddy Affair, I have a young lady by the name of Anna Chance, and she has her fiddle, her violin with her. And Anna, what you going to do for us this time?
Well, we were just talking about middle school and high school, and I have a tune I learned by ear from my violin teacher that has no name, but it's a haunting tune, and it's probably not one you'll hear again, so I'll feature it on your radio station.
All right, let's do it. Live music on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and thank you, Anna Chance. Is that four strings on there?
Yes, it's four strings.
Okay, and did you learn that one because it played a lot of different notes, and so you got exercise on using your fingers to string it, or whatever you say?
Yeah, definitely. So it was just a tune I learned by ear, which was how I learned most of my music in middle school and high school. My violin teacher didn't have a lot of sheet music, and he preferred to improvise anyways. So
that's the one that you met at the...
The farmer's market.
The farmer's market?
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
I wrote my college entrance essay about meeting this fellow. He was quite a character with hair even longer than mine, and my hair goes down to my waist.
Yes. And are you still in touch?
Yep. His name is Steve Golightly, and he still plays fiddle around Kansas City. And if you're ever coming back from an international travel, they have those little welcome videos, Welcome Back to America. And he's featured as one of the icons in the video playing violin on stage.
All right. So when you were going to the school that you had to take a test to get into, and you went there and got involved in photography, did you get involved in any other activities besides studies? You studied, you had photography. You played the fiddle at school?
I played the fiddle, and I played field hockey, and I was on dance team.
Oh, dance. How'd you like that?
That was amazing. I was a new dancer my sophomore year, so I was far behind the other gals on dance team because they had all been dancing pretty much since they were 3 or 4 years old in the ballet style. So I had a long way to go when it came to getting my splits down or doing leaps and jumps. So when I was a senior, I still was on varsity because I still had a lot to learn, but I did get a trophy for most improved because I was working my butt off just to try to keep up with the other girls. But I really enjoyed my time on that team because it really stretched my limits and made me appreciate what I had.
Now, I've never heard of a ballet team. Tell me how that would. Now, I know we have like the Highliners here in Northfield, and they dance, and it's very entertaining. But I've never heard of a ballet team. Well, how does that work?
Well, a lot of the students had training in ballet, but we would do routines that were hip-hop, jazz, all kinds of things. Okay. We had a routine with baseball bats we used for props, so we had all kinds of different dance styles.
Okay. Which did you enjoy the most?
My favorite routine was probably our baseball prop routine. We had a number of songs that featured baseball lyrics, and it was a cute routine where we wore baseball jerseys, and it was very cute.
Was it like a cheerleading to that baseball dance?
We were different than the cheerleaders. The cheerleaders had pom-poms and did the formations, but we did more kick lines or choreographed dances.
Were there boys and girls in that?
There was one boy dancing.
All right. Was he pretty good?
Yes, he was a great dancer.
Did the other girls on the team want to pair up with him and do duets or whatever you say?
There were no duets, but he was just considered one of the gals almost.
Do you know if he went into dance as a professional?
I don't think so.
Okay. So you were going to the college prep school. Now, was that school associated with any particular denomination or location of as a feeder to some college?
Nope. It doesn't have a feeder college. It is known for getting people into Ivy League schools, but otherwise it's just a college preparatory school with no denomination.
Okay. So did you live in dorms?
I did not live in a dorm. It was on-campus learning, but we all lived at home.
Oh, everybody was going to school and going home every day.
Yes.
Okay, so it must have been kind of an elitist school. I mean, you had to get in there, which was tough, right?
Right.
All right. Okay, so did you like that kind of surrounding?
It was a wonderful place to learn just because the students there were so driven to succeed and to try their hardest. So there was a lot of academic rigor involved. The professors were all very caring and invested in their students because the students put the work in and so did the professors. So it generally went really smoothly.
So did you have college in mind when you first joined that school? Obviously, every student is going to go to college, hopefully, and I'm sure some of them had their heart set on Princeton or Yale or Harvard or Brown or et cetera. Did you have your heart set on a particular school?
Well, my mom had wanted me to go to Vassar because she went to Vassar, and so did my grandmother. And my dad went to Cornell University, so he wanted me to go there. And my grandfather went there as well. So those were the two schools people had in mind for me. But when I was doing my college search, I was looking for a college that was in a really safe location so I could walk around with my fiddle on my back and not get bothered by anyone at 2 in the morning. And so that's what I found in Northfield.
Well, now, I can see where your mom and dad have different ideas of where you should go to school. Two very prestigious schools, Vassar and Cornell. And did that create a little pull between you and, like, should I please mom? Should I please dad? Should I tell them both to go to hell? I'm going to pick my own school?
Well, I wanted to be close to my mom in Kansas City, so I went to school in Minnesota because it's just a 6-hour straight shot on I-35. My dad lives in Tennessee, so that's not really close to Cornell or Vassar. So,
what did your dad do for a living? Your mom was a masseuse.
Mm-hmm.
What about your dad?
My dad is an engineer, and he currently sells car parts for Laird Technology in massive quantities. So originally he was doing engineering for automotive, so he would be the person who would do the calculus to tell you what the volume of the ball joint needs to be in the rearview mirror, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. And did you say massive quantity?
Massive quantities of auto parts.
Massive quantities, okay. So did he ever invent something and get a patent on it?
No, he didn't. He might have invented things, but it was all part of his job description.
Yeah, they own the patent, I'm sure, the corporations. It is 12 minutes before 10 o'clock. We're going to take a brief break and come back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Maybe hear some more music. Our guest this morning is Anna Chance, and she is a fiddler, and she is a violinist, and she is a dancer, and she is a graduate, and she is a scarf maker. She does it all.
Mulligan's Landscaping is proud to be in the landscape green industry. Mulligan's is a complete landscape and irrigation design and build company. Is it time for a new driveway? Have Mulligan's certified ICPI installers create a new paver driveway for you. And while they're at it, they can also build that backyard living area you've always wanted. Check Mulligan's on the web at mulliganslandscaping.com or visit them at their office just 5 miles west of Northfield on Highway 19.
All right, America. H&R Block has some good news. For a limited time only, you could get a refund advance loan of up to $3,000 the same day you file at Block. That's right. You could get up to $3,000 today. No interest. Told you it was good news. To learn more or find participating locations near you, visit hrblock.com. Get your taxes won. Optional tax refund related loan from BofI Federal Bank. Not your tax refund. $500, $750, $1,250, or $3,000 loans offered. Approval and loan amount based on expected refund and other conditions. Funds loaded on prepaid card. Tax returns may be e-filed without applying for this loan. Fees for other products or features may apply.
H&R Block, 1300 Bolenbacher Drive in Northfield. Open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday, 9 to 5. Walk-ins are welcome or call 645-6281 for an appointment.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Good morning, everybody. Plenty of sunshine this morning. And a lot of activity on Division Street, up in town, Division Street. In studio, I have a young woman by the name of Anna Chance, and we're learning about her, and want to know more about how she chose Carleton to go to college. But I thought maybe we could get another number in. You said you had about six or seven of them, so I'm trying to figure maybe three an hour. So
sure.
Tell me what you're going to play next on fiddle.
Well, I'm going to play for you the Tennessee Waltz. It was written in 1946 with lyrics by Red Stewart and music by Pee Wee King. The song is about someone who introduces his sweetheart to a friend who then waltzes away with her.
You know what? I remember the night of the Tennessee Waltz when an old friend I happened to meet. I went da 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 da. Yeah, I know that song.
Yeah, it's pretty famous.
Can I sing along to you?
If you want to, sure.
I don't. All right. We'll listen to just the violin. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Chance, and a song that a lot of us do remember. I was trying to remember the words. I was getting close. I remember the night of the 10. I was dancing with my partner when an old friend. All the words?
I was dancing with my darling. That's pretty much all I know, though.
Yeah. That was nice. I haven't heard that for quite a while. 8 minutes before 11 o'clock on KYMN Radio. Anna Chance, my guest, this morning. And now we're going to get into... the fact that you went to this prep school, and I imagine a lot of your classmates had ideas of going to Ivy League schools,
mm-hmm.
and were most successful? Was the school pretty renowned?
Yes, I think 98% of the students that went there graduated and went to college, and then maybe 10 or 20%, I would say, went to one of the local schools, like Kansas University, and then a large majority would go to Ivy League schools.
And which one did your dad wanted Cornell,
mm-hmm.
and your mom wanted Vassar,
mm-hmm.
and of course there's Princeton and Harvard and Brown and others, and you decided that you were going to do your own choice. And so how did you learn about Carleton College?
Well, my college counselor in high school recommended it to me. When I said I wanted a small school where I'd feel safe walking around at 2 a.m, he said, well, you should apply to St. Olaf and Carleton. And the first time I came up to visit Northfield. I visited St. Olaf campus and saw the beautiful architecture, and I knew a student there that toured me around. And I was thinking of going to St. Olaf at first, because when I first saw Carleton, all I saw was Musser, the one dorm that's not very beautiful. And so I thought that's what the college was like, was just a bunch of buildings like that, and didn't see the rest of campus. So I came back to Kansas City thinking I'm going to apply to St. Olaf and I'll skip Carleton. And my college counselor said, no, just apply to Carleton just in case. So I applied to Carleton, St. Olaf, Vassar, Cornell. I got into all of them. And I went to be a prospective student at the various schools.
What does that mean?
Being a prospective student is where you go visit the campus and you stay over with a current student to see what it's like to actually be a student.
Is it like the way the football players are recruited with all kinds of fun included?
I wouldn't know. I've never been recruited for football.
Okay. Well, you didn't go out and party and get hooked up with somebody.
No, not when I was a prospective student. So it was nice to see all the different colleges and to experience what it'd be like to go to Cornell or Vassar. But the best fit was Carleton in the end, and I'm glad I stayed over as a prospective student, because otherwise I might have gone to St. Olaf.
That makes half the people in town sad. What was the Vassar campus like?
It was beautiful, wonderful chemistry facilities, interesting, diverse student population, good food.
How about Vassar? I mean, Cornell.
Cornell was a lot bigger, a lot more students running around. I felt more like a number at Cornell and less like a person because there were so many students.
And what did you have in mind to study?
I really didn't know what I wanted to study. I was thinking it'd be good to major in science because the STEM fields are growing. So I majored in science at Carleton and got a degree in environmental studies.
Okay. How did you get informed that you have been accepted these four prestigious schools?
By letter in the mail.
Okay. And so did they all come about the same time?
Yes.
And so you had the letters in front of you, and you had to go eeny, meeny, or did you say, what impressed you about Carleton?
Well, I loved the students I met and how quirky they were and how varied their interests were, and I liked the feel of the campus. When I was on campus, it just felt like home. They have the Daisy Moses Cookie Baking House, and I got to enjoy my first year on campus working in that capacity, baking whatever I wanted to for people and hosting Sunday brunches. So it basically just felt like a really good fit for me because I could see myself being a student there.
So what year did you graduate from high school?
2011.
And so you did 4 years in 4 years?
Yep.
At Carleton?
That's right.
So you graduated in five.
I graduated a little bit early from Carleton, actually.
Oh, you missed the ceremony?
I was there for the ceremony, but I got to skip spring term.
And how come?
Well, I had all my classes done, except for my senior comps. I had to take a little extra time to finish that because my project partner decided to leave the country on me in the middle of our project.
Oh, what did you do to entertain yourself? Obviously, you were kept busy studying. But what did you do on campus? Did you go to the cave?
Oh, as a student, I was a resident assistant for 3 years, so I was taking care of other students who were living on my floor. Otherwise, I was dancing on my own. I had these levitating sticks I got into where you attach strings to your fingers, and there's sticks on the end of the strings, and you dance with them.
Oh, kind of like a puppet.
Yep.
Who was your dance instructor at Carleton?
My favorite dance professor was Jane Shockley, who taught contact improvisation dance. Okay. It's a course I took 4 times at Carleton, and I even audited once as an alum.
And did you ever hear of or see Mary Easter?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, she was the dance instructor, I think the predecessor whom you may have had.
Oh.
Okay, so did you live in what dorm?
I lived in several dorms. I lived in Watson, Myers, Davis, Burton, and Goodhue.
How's it come?
Well, because I was working over the summers as a camp counselor for the high school students, so we'd live in Burton and Davis, and then in the regular school year, I was traveling abroad sometimes, so I'd go for one term living in one dorm, go abroad, and then come back and live in a different dorm.
Well, that sounds interesting. We're going to visit that when we get back from these words, all right? We'll be right back. Anna Chance is my guest this morning.
Mark Patrick Hypnosis is coming to Northfield today for one day only. Lose weight or stop smoking now through hypnosis. Join the over 500,000 people who have stopped smoking and lost weight the Mark Patrick way. That's right. Join America's best-known hypnotist, Mark Patrick. Weight loss hypnosis seminar is tomorrow from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. The stop smoking seminar is from 8 to 10. Both were at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street. Registration starts 30 minutes prior to sessions. Seating is limited, so get there early to reserve your spot. For only $49.99, attend these life-changing programs and learn how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your goal to lose weight or stop smoking without any willpower. 100% guaranteed. So whether you need to lose weight or want to stop smoking, join Mark Patrick Hypnosis today at the Archer House, 212 Division Street. Doors open 30 minutes prior to seminar. Go to markpatrickseminars.com.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
From Northfield, Minnesota, this is KYMN Radio, 1080 on your AM dial for nearly 50 years, and now 95.1 FM, the one on your FM dial.
Special report, Rex Tillerson fired. I'm John Trout. Before departing the White House with plans to visit California later today, President Trump spoke to reporters about his choice for the next Secretary of State, CIA Director Mike Pompeo.
I've worked with Mike Pompeo now for quite some time. Tremendous energy, tremendous intellect. We're always on the same wavelength. The relationship has been very good, and that's what I need as Secretary of State.
Abby Phillips reports Tillerson had known for some time he was out.
Tillerson was informed while he was traveling in Africa, according to sources. He was told by the president that the president wanted him gone, and that coincided around the same time that we were learning that there were going to be negotiations or potentially a meeting with North Korea.
A State Department aide said Tillerson did not speak to the president over his firing and is unaware of the reason for his ouster. I'm John Trout. No evidence of collusion between Russia and Donald Trump during the presidential campaign. That's the decision of Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff says of the Republicans on that panel,
their real object was protecting the president. It wasn't doing a credible investigation.
Authorities in Austin, Texas now believe three deadly package bombings are connected. Correspondent Nick Watt reports two victims are related.
Two of the victims knew each other, the stepfather and the grandfather knew each other. That's a connection they are now looking into.
Austin police say there is evidence suggesting the same person sent that series of parcel bombs. Winter storm warnings in the Northeast.
This thing is going to be a quick mover, but a punishing quick mover, and that it will leave us very, very quickly with a good 12 to 18 inches. I wouldn't be surprised if some areas picked up 2 feet by tomorrow morning.
Meteorologist Ivan Cabrera on Wall Street. The Dow is up 189 points. I'm John Trout.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine, birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
We're back live in the color on the Wayne Eddy Affair with a beautiful day of sunshine on Division Street near the Archer House. This is your station, KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. And a reminder, at noon today, the Minnesota Twins take on the Baltimore Orioles right here at 95.1 or 1080 AM. And then this evening at 7:15, it's going to be the Wild versus the Colorado Avalanche. So the Twins and the Wild on KYMN Radio in one day. Let's get back to our students now. Our students, well, that's where you're at. You're a student when we're talking about you. Our guest this morning is Anna Chance, and she is a Carleton graduate. And when you chose Carleton, did you drive up here? Did you fly up to check out the campuses of St. Olaf and Carleton?
I drove up on I-35.
Just by yourself?
Yep.
Okay, so this was your decision.
It was.
At 18, I mean, your parents tried to influence you, but it was entirely up to you. Were they pretty fair about that?
Yes, they were. They were very understanding. My dad could see why Cornell wasn't the best fit for me just because it was such a huge school and I felt I would be just a number. And my mom understood why I might not prefer Vassar because Poughkeepsie is not the safest of towns, whereas Northfield, I felt very safe and at home.
Poughkeepsie?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a nice, mellow town.
It does. It's on the river in New York, and it's a beautiful town as far as I'm concerned, but the crime rates are better in Northfield.
And you were concerned about that, and you had enough forethought to think about that.
Yep.
Did you call the police department and ask how many arrests they made in the last year, or how did you determine it was a safe place?
Well, walking around by myself, you see how people look at you or don't look at you, and that gives you a pretty good idea of how safe you might feel in a town.
What time of the year did you come up and scope out the colleges?
Fall.
Well, before enrollment?
I was looking at different colleges over the past year or so.
Okay. So you weren't enrolled, but you came up and checked out the campuses.
Right.
Now, what impressed you most about Carleton? I know you mentioned the architecture on the hill at St. Olaf was very impressive, and some dorm was ugly. but what was it that navigated you to Carleton?
Well, when I was there, just the way the students were interacting with one another, it was a much more collaborative environment instead of competitive, which I got more of a sense of in the New York schools. And otherwise, the people there spoke so highly of their professors, and the content they were learning was very interesting. And people were just so friendly to me as a prospective student, too, just welcomed me into their communities, into their dorm friends groups. I really had a wonderful impression when I went to Carleton.
And what year did you graduate from high school?
2011.
2011. Okay. All right. I was thinking something else. So 2011, you felt safe, and they had the classes that you wanted to take,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't really know what you wanted to major in, but arts were a very important part?
Yep, the arts were important, but I knew I wouldn't major in art because I wanted to major in science.
And when you say science, are you chemistry or biology, which...
So I majored in environmental science, so I took some biology classes, some chemistry classes, a little bit of everything.
And to hopefully get what type of a job?
Well, in theory, working for somewhere like the Parks and Rec Service as a park ranger or someone who generally works in conservation.
And you knew that those jobs were far and few between.
Right.
I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people get their degrees in that field and then... The waiting list is long.
Right. Hence why I don't have a job in that field, but I've gotten to work in a couple other fields.
What other fields were you involved in?
Well, I worked in the retail and restaurant industries, and I worked in the insurance industry and in the radio business.
So you have quite an experience in the minimal years you've been out of school.
Yep, a little bit of this and that.
Okay, tell me about the graduation ceremony at Carleton. Do you remember who gave the speech on campus?
Well, the president definitely gave a speech, Steve Poskanser, and some fellow students also gave speeches at commencement.
Any politician or somebody brought in?
Not whose name I can recall.
Okay. The reason I asked that is because one time they brought in President Clinton. which is a pretty good draw for to have a sitting president give the convocation or the commencement speech.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember your commencement speech?
I remember the students' speeches.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about in high school? Were you a valedictorian or anything like that, or class president? Or
I was not. I was just on dance team, rowing team, and field hockey.
All right. And what song do you have for us next?
Well, I was thinking I could do another Irish song while we're still talking about high school. As I was in high school, I was learning Irish. So I'll play you a traditional one called The Irish Washerwoman.
When you say you were learning Irish, are you talking about music or Gaelic? Or?
Oh, Irish music from my teacher who I learned from ear from.
Okay. What kind, is she from Ireland?
He is not from Ireland, but I have Irish background, so he was teaching me some songs from my heritage.
What county did your heritage come from?
Sorry?
My grandmother is from County Clare.
Oh, cool.
And I'm wondering if you know what your relatives from Ireland came from. What?
I don't exactly know where in Ireland. I just know from Ireland.
Okay, well, that's something you can research.
Yep.
And then go over there and play.
Yeah.
All right. And we're going to hear the Irish Washerwoman. Is that right?
That's correct.
And, you know, for some reason, I think I'm going to recognize this melody, but I'll find out. Here we go.
It's been a popular tune since the 1800s.
Anna Chance on her violin that was made in 1713. Anna Chance on her 1713 violin. How about that? The washerwoman, Irish washerwoman. And yes, I did recognize that. When you play with a band, do you, for example, a bass player, you know, he's kind of, or she is kind of there just doing the bass, you know, and the rhythm, etc. And then all the singing and melody stuff is going on with other instruments. Now, when you're doing the fiddle, are you doing repetitive things and keeping beat, or do you play a melody and you're part of what the song is?
It depends how well I know the song. Generally, I can play with most music because I was taught how to improvise on the fiddle from my improvisational teacher. So if there's a band I'm new to playing with, oftentimes I'll improvise the harmony or melody in the background. So they'll be playing the main tune and I'll be filling in notes where they sound good. And generally, if it sounds good, I play louder. And if it doesn't sound good, I play softer until it sounds better. And then as I get to know the pieces of music better, I'll eventually start playing the melody itself. But I generally start with improvisation.
Okay. There are a lot of do a lot of people dance the Irish jig?
Well, I've played at some contra dances before, and in those partner dances, people have turns and claps that they do, and they have a beat that they do, either a 1-2-step-2 or a 3-4-step. So I've played with some contra dance groups with the Scandinavian band, especially I'm a part
sure.
of.
So do you work with Narkasian, is that her name? A city councilwoman that's really into that type of music you just mentioned.
Oh, what's her first name?
Sue, I think.
Sue, yeah.
Good-looking, dark-haired lady.
Yep.
Yeah. And She invited me up to one of those dances when she was first in town. It was kind of fun.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun. Good time. It's 13 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on the 195.1 FM. My guest this morning is Anna Chance, and if I seem to be a little bit slow this morning, it's because I was telling Anna I overslept, and I hate that when that happens, and all the way in, you got to go, la, 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 get the voice going. So you mentioned that you chose Northfield and Carleton College. You were accepted there, and you chose Northfield because it was a safe community as opposed to maybe Cornell or Vassar and Poughkeepsie. That's a neat name. I like that. And you end up on the Carleton campus. Were you torn between St. Olaf and Carleton?
I was pretty set on Carleton ever since going to the cookie baking house. That was something very outstanding about the university that I hadn't found anywhere else.
Did you get the whole story behind that?
Behind the cookie baking house?
Yep.
Well, Daisy Moses donated her house to the college when she died a number of years ago. And we celebrate her birthday every year there at the Daisy Moses house with a big brunch. And the Carleton Knights come in and sing their songs, and the Nightingales, a cappella groups on campus. So I know a little bit about the history.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people listening that knew her, including me. And she was quite the person. Quite the person. So you majored in biology and chemistry and all that. You wanted to be a forest ranger, and you wanted to marry Smokey the Bear. A little humor there. So as we discussed, that job, to find a job in that department is really hard because so many people want to do it.
Right.
So when did the disappointment set in that you realized that the competition for that job is going to really be stiff?
Well, probably realized that around my junior year when people were already applying to jobs.
Yeah. And so did you get on a list?
I wasn't set on wanting a job as a park ranger yet because I knew I wanted to bolster my resume with some other general job experience before dedicating myself to any particular career. So I wasn't applying to the same jobs my peers were because I was keeping my options open.
When you were at Carleton College, did you venture to the Twin Cities frequently?
Occasionally, I would go up to the Twin Cities to blues dance.
Oh, okay.
And blues dancing is another club on campus that I helped to run. I would organize some blues dance dance jams on the weekends. People would come over to my room, and we'd all blues dance together.
Did you ever go downtown to the Rubenstein?
I did the March to the Rube my senior year.
Oh, Carleton does that too?
They do.
Isn't that crazy? I was Joe Grundhofer, who's a dear friend of mine, owned the Rubenstein.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd always missed the 100-day march that St. Olaf did. And I'd always miss it. And I just wanted to come down and watch that and watch them fill up the Rube. But I didn't know Carleton did that, too. Do you call yours like the 90-day march, or how does yours go?
Ours is generally the week during senior week when all the seniors are on campus together. So it's not really a 100-day march. It's closer to graduation.
Okay, and then y'all get together in one group?
Yep, I'll march to the Rube.
And let them know you're coming?
I figure they know we're coming. Yeah. I hope so.
Did you fill up the place?
Yep.
Have a lot of fun?
Yes, definitely. Okay.
What about the stuck in the muds? Would they go down there and have party and enjoy?
Well, if they're called stuck in the muds, I think that defeats the point of being stuck in the mud.
Oh, okay. Well, you seem like a pretty reserved young lady. I can't picture you yelling and a hooting down at the Rubenstein. I can see you playing the fiddle, but, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go on spring breaks?
We had some spring breaks at Carleton.
Where would you go?
Well, oftentimes I would go to Mexico for spring break.
And what part of Mexico?
Puerto Vallarta.
How did you like that?
It was a wonderful experience. I love Mexico.
And how many people would you go with?
Well, I'd usually go with my family, so my grandma and my mom.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Spring break, you take your grandma and your mom?
Yep.
And three of you or more?
My grandma, my mom, my aunt, my cousin.
Lady cousins?
Yep.
Okay. Wow, so you rented a big batch of rooms and...
Yep.
And Puerto Vallarta. Have you been to that restaurant that's way up in the on the mountain?
Oh, the Panoramic Cafe?
Yeah, whatever they call it.
I think so.
My wife and I went down there for over New Year's. And so we spent New Year's Eve at that place.
Nice.
And ended up dancing on the tables.
Wow.
Did you ever go up there?
I've been to the Panoramic Cafe, but I've never danced on the tables.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think that's what it's called. I know it was at the very top up there. So we had a good time there. So you would go down there, but with mom and grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't one of those crazy young ladies running around without any clothes on and drinking out of bongs or whatever they call them.
No, I was. Craziest thing I ever did was probably play with a mariachi band on a fiddle that someone let me borrow while I was there.
In Mexico?
Yep.
How did that happen?
Well, someone handed me a fiddle and said, do you want to try playing with the mariachi band? And I said, sure, I'll improvise. And so we all just kind of made it work.
Well, how did they know that you could play the fiddle?
My grandma was telling people.
Your what?
My grandmother was telling people that I could play.
Well, she, you ought to get my granddaughter. She can play the fiddle.
Yeah, pretty much.
Come on, get on up there.
Yep.
Where does the name Chance come from?
That is a very good question. I know it's from my dad's side of the family, and it's an English name. That's all I know.
You didn't do any research at all?
Nope.
Have you ever had a desire to send in your DNA?
No, I haven't. I figure we all came from the same sort of collection of people to begin with, so we're not that far apart in our ancestry anyways.
And where did that start, the family clan?
My family clan?
Yeah.
Well, back 13 generations ago.
Holy cow.
My great-great-great 13 times grandfather, Roger, came over on the Mayflower. So I am from Mayflower.
And now, do you believe that or know that for a fact?
Yep. My grandmother did the research on that. So if I wanted to be a part of the society of people that are from the Mayflower, I could be.
And they came from England then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my uncle, who is a psychologist and a college professor, he did research, and he says that the English side of my family came over on the Mayflower.
There you go.
And then I got the grandmother that was born and raised in County Clare, Ireland, and mm-hmm. came over on the boat. And then I got the French-Canadian grandmother, who was part Sioux.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're all just Americans.
Guess so.
Da, 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 da. Do you ever play at funerals?
I haven't played at a funeral before.
Do you ever play at public 4th of July celebrations or things like that?
Sometimes, especially in the summertime. I play especially with my Northern Roots Jam group.
Well, let's hear something again.
All right, sounds good. I will play you Rosenberg's Polska. A polska is a partner dance with a 3-4 beat, and Rosenberg's is from Sweden.
Well, I'm going to keep a 3-4 beat to this, all right? And this should fit real well, Sweden, Norway, okay? Thank you. Well, that one had more melody to it, didn't it?
Yeah,
that was good. I enjoyed that little Swedish melody on her violin that was built in 1713. And that just takes my breath away when you told me that. And it does look old. She asked, you asked me how old it was, and of course I was 300 years, and I wasn't even close. Now, you had a lot of different things that you did in your life. Anna Chance is my guest here on KYMN Radio. She went to Carleton College, and after Carleton College, you decided to stay in town as opposed to go back to Kansas City?
Yeah, so basically when I graduated, I took a little tour around the Midwest. I went to Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Indiana, just to see a little bit of the states, because after studying at Carleton for 4 years, I was super worn out from all the tests and papers. And then after my little tour of the Midwest, I went to my mom's cattle farm in Missouri briefly to help her out with the cows. And then I was running away from the winter, so I moved to Tennessee, where my dad was living at the time, and started working some jobs there over the winter time too. Winters ago.
Now, you were from the UP, right?
Yes.
And that's, of course, God's country when it comes to snow.
Yes.
And you lived in Kansas City where snowfall is not very frequent.
Mostly ice storms in Kansas City.
And so when you were touring the Midwest, as opposed to the East Coast or the West Coast, what impressed you the most? Was it the canals, the Great Lakes, what?
Well, the friendliness of the people is not to be overlooked. And of course, there's beautiful lakes, like Lake Superior was something I drove around for a good part of the trip. Otherwise, I love the forests and trees and generally being outside and going tubing. So I went tubing on different rivers around the Midwest.
Which ones do you recall?
My favorite place I went was in Michigan to a place called Rifle River, and there's a free campsite there where you can hop in the river and it will take you on a little loop that drops you off right where you take off on your little tube down the river, so you don't have to walk very far to get back to your campsite.
Well, that's unique.
Yeah.
That's have you ever done the Welch Village?
No,
tubing?
I haven't.
You ever tubed a cannon?
Not yet, but I hope to this summer.
How about Somerset, Wisconsin?
I haven't been there either.
Okay. How about up in Duluth?
I was in Duluth for skiing this winter, but I haven't been tubing.
Are you a skier?
I am a skier.
Downhill or?
Downhill.
Cross country? Downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever gone off a ski jump?
I've gone off little jumps.
Okay. Ever done a backflip?
I've never done a backflip, but I've done double black diamonds.
What are those?
Those are a difficult level of skiing. So if you're in Colorado or something and you're in a basin, you might go down a double black diamond where there's lots of moguls or a lot of snow.
Okay. Have you ever skied Buck Hill?
No, I haven't.
Okay. That's where Lindsey Vonn got her start.
Yeah.
Aren't you impressed? When you came up to the Carleton campus, once again you chose... You chose Carleton, you were accepted at both St. Olaf and Carleton, and you chose Carleton, and what was your first visit to the community downtown Northfield, Minnesota? What was that, your first impression off campus?
Well, it was Jesse James days. So there were a lot of people in town. This was a hopping place, even though it's a small town. It has a lot going for it. And I went to a play at the Grand about the shooting of the treasurer. Yeah, Jesse James. So I saw the whole reenactment in play form at the Grand.
Okay, so you went to the play Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where there's Zerelda. And I had a role in that one time. I played Clyde Wagstaff. I was the bad guy, the railroad guy.
That's fun.
And but the raid reenactment itself, did you watch that the first time you were in town?
Yes.
And what was your thought about Minnesota playing the role of a real-time Western.
Well, I thought it was great. I thought everyone did a great job with the production. I thought that people did the reenactment very well, and everyone was really into it. And it just depends how into it you are, I guess.
So now you got St. Olaf Carleton and defeated Jesse James Days.
Mm-hmm.
So did you ever try to get involved in the celebration?
Involved? How so?
Well, be on the committee, carry banners in the parade so you can earn some money to help support your club that you would be in, your nonprofits.
Well, I have a button, so I paid my $5 to get my Jesse James Day button.
That's good. That's real good. You know what the number is?
What?
On the button.
Oh, no, I don't.
No, a lot of the members on Defeated Jesse James Days have a button, and they're all numbered.
Mm.
And the chairman, the general chairman, always gets the button that it's the year, like 2017 this year. And the staff used to find me 1080 for the AM dial. And I'm sure this year they'll buy 951, 95.1. 1029 on 1080 radio. Once again, my guest this morning is a very young lady by the name of Anna. And Anna, what did you go to work right after you got out of Carleton?
I traveled the Midwest, and then I worked in the retail and restaurant industries when I was in Tennessee.
Oh, okay. What part of Tennessee?
Cleveland, Tennessee, which is an hour north of Chattanooga.
Okay. Is that a little town?
Yes. Small town, very religious town, not a lot of educated people there.
And so you're a waitress in that town?
I was a hostess at a steakhouse, and I was a cashier.
And did you enjoy that?
I did. I enjoyed being a cashier more than I thought I would. And being a hostess was a high-stress job that paid only $2.17 an hour. So that was not really worth my time.
And no tips?
Well, no tips. I got technically tip share, but people weren't accurately reporting their tips, so it really wasn't much shared.
So you stood there with the menu in your arms, and people would come to you and say, "Hello, how many?"
Yeah, in theory, that would happen, but more often people were just very hangry and difficult to deal with.
What? Angry?
Hangry. Hungry, angry.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
And I did all the bussing of all the tables, too.
Wow.
And washing the tables and running around. And yeah, it was a lot of running around.
For $2.17 an hour.
Right? Unreal.
What did you do with all that money?
Well, like the $20 I made a day, I was saving up so I could move back to Minnesota.
Yeah, back to Northfield?
Back to Northfield, yeah.
And what did you want to do when you got back to Northfield?
Well, when I got back into town, I was looking at different jobs all over Minnesota and wasn't getting any leads on any potentially hiring employers. So I started walking up and down the street on Division Street, seeing if I could get a job somewhere. And I had a funny day where after months and months of absolutely no bites on my resume, applying in the typical manner, I walk into Blue Monday and I get hired on the spot there. So I'm outside of Blue Monday celebrating that I got a job, and my friend walks up to me on the street and she says, "Hey, Anna, do you want to work in the insurance industry?" And I said, "Well, I just got hired at Blue Monday." And she said, "Well, I'm leaving my job at this insurance company today, so if you want to interview, you should just go in and see if they'll take you." So I said, "Well, okay, why not?" So I went into the insurance agency, got hired on the spot there too, and so I had to go back into Blue Monday and say I couldn't work for them anymore, even though I'd just been hired that same day.
Did you work at all at Blue Monday?
Nope, I was hired two places at once after months of nothing.
Okay. Isn't that something when it rains, it pours?
Exactly.
Do you feel like months of nothing was caused by being overqualified? You've heard that expression. I mean, a Carleton degree to be a server at a coffee shop is probably over. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I was hired at Blue Monday with my degree, but I just didn't go work for them because I found other employment.
Yeah. But, you know, that's pretty good. You got somebody with a degree from Carleton that's willing to say, Would you like a roll with that?
Mm-hmm.
So what about the insurance company? That was a brand new experience for you.
Yeah, it was my first time doing sales, and I really loved getting to know people through the Chamber of Commerce in town and going to different events and networking with business owners and being a part of BNI, Business Networking International. So that was a great opportunity for me just to start getting involved with the business community in Northfield.
So is it, do you want to mention who the insurance company was or not, if you don't want to?
I was working at a farmer's insurance agency.
Over on 2nd Street in Water?
Nope, that's a different farmer's insurance agency. Oh. This was the third farmer's insurance agency to open in town.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed that I was shocked the other day. Well, to me, the other day maybe had been 6 months ago to see State Farm had another representative, and that really surprised me because it's always been the Quinnells at 6454545.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one that shocked me was Edward Jones putting in an office in the bakery building over across from the Holiday Store.
Mm-hmm.
And also one down on Division Street. I'm going, wow, you know, it used to be one, now there's three.
Right.
So competition is the backbone of America. Did yes. you enjoy the cold calling and knocking on doors and calling people and say, hey, guess what, it's me, remember me?
Yep. Yeah. It made me a lot more brave. I was able to call people and have conversations with people that I had never imagined before, because it takes a lot of guts to just cold call people and say, do you want to buy my product?
Yeah. Did you go through extensive training for insurance?
I got my insurance license, so I have my license valid for another year. So I took a test for that. And otherwise, I was just trained in through the videos Farmers has.
Was that mostly... was it every, you know, life and auto and home and everything?
Yep, auto, home, life insurance, boat insurance, RV, toys.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the ones that go bum ba da bum 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 bum?
That's right, yep.
Are they the ones that say, yep, this one here happened when a moose attacked the swing set?
Mm-hmm.
Those are cute commercials.
They are very funny.
They're memorable. 10:35 on 1080 Radio. We're going to take a brief break, come back, and hear some more fiddling.
Let's help you maximize your earnings with a certificate of deposit from Community Resource Bank. Invest in a 60-month CD at 2% or a 48-month at 1.75 annual percentage yield, or choose a 54-month bump option at 1.70% APY. Get the best deposit rates around with Community Resource Bank in Northfield, Cannon Falls, and Roseville. Good bankers, good friends. $25,000 minimum deposit required. Penalty for early withdrawal may reduce earnings. Other rates and terms are available. Member FDIC.
You buy something because you got it for a low price, and soon you realize it's no bargain because you really needed something better. It happens all the time, especially with car insurance. But the good news is you can get the right coverage at the right price. Just talk to me, State Farm agent Mark Quinnell. I'll help you get the right coverage at a price that's right for you. Call me at 645-4545 today.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is
providing insurance and financial services.
We're back on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota. Excuse me, Anna. My guest this morning is Anna Chance, and she plays the fiddle. You want to do it?
Yeah.
What are you going to play?
I'm going to play the 99 On, which is a pariser, which is a polka with turns and claps from Norway.
Now you're going to make some friends from Norway. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
on a chance on her 1713 violin. It is so cool and so unique. Thank you very much. A little Norwegian music. And, of course, a lot of Norwegians living in the Northfield area. And Anna has graduated from Carleton College, and she got a job but never did work at Blue Monday. Mm-hmm. And you know that song, by the way?
Hmm.
Blue Monday?
No.
By Fats Domino?
I don't know that one.
You don't? Mm-hmm. Blue Monday, my head starts a-spinning. You know who Fats Domino is?
No.
Okay, never mind. You're just a young lady, and I don't expect you to know music of when I was your age. So then you ended up with Farmers Insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Bum-ba-da-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. And how long were you with them?
About 6 months.
Okay, and you didn't like getting beat up and taking rejection, I assume?
Well, my insurance agency closed. We were the third Farmers in town to open. So I think we were our own worst competition. So our agency didn't make it, which is why I moved jobs.
What happened after that?
Well, then I came into KYMN Radio and said, are you looking for someone to work here? And they said yes. So okay. I got a job here.
Talked to Terry and Jeff?
Yep.
Okay. Now, I remember seeing you. You had your little office over here,
mm-hmm.
and you were busy and very polite and nice, and I'd see you walk in front of the window here as you would trot downtown. What was that like? I would imagine a woman who is interested in different things, making things, playing music and all that, you would probably enjoy meeting retailers and advertisers throughout the community. That would be kind of fun.
Right. It was super enjoyable. I loved working with the local business owners and seeing what sales they had going on or what their objective was for selling that season, whether it was leggings or car parts. It was really enjoyable just to be a part of that community and to get out there and talk to people who are doing it every day.
How long did you do that?
About 6 months.
All right. And so did you have any other territory besides Northfield?
For the radio station, I was going down as far south as Owatonna.
Really?
As far east as Wanamingo, over to Lonsdale. So my territory was mostly Northfield and Faribault and Cannon Falls, but I would also get out to some of those farther places.
Farmington?
Yep.
Rosemount?
Yep.
Lakeville?
Denison.
Yeah? And did you... I will tell you that for many, 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 many years, I knocked on doors and told people, what do you think is the best method of advertising? And, of course, most would say word of mouth, and I'd say, I'm glad you feel that way because that's what radio is, word of mouth. And I had some clients, minuscule amount of clients that I almost dreaded going in and talking to because they'd beat you up, you know, and, mm-hmm. you know, what do you want? I'm not. But then I had many clients that I just really enjoyed going to and visiting with.
Right.
And sometimes spent too much time in one place. Did you find that also in your knocking on doors throughout the Kim Listening area?
Well, it was always nice to see the business owners because you start to develop a relationship with them, and then they expect to see you every month if you're doing recurring commercials. But yeah, it was wonderful just to talk to people and get to know people I would normally have not had the chance to meet.
I'll tell you an experience that I had with a client out of Faribault, and they were a regular advertiser. And I had worked with them for several years, and I knew that I had a great relationship when one day I was changing copy for another business, and everything was current with the client I'm talking about. And I thought, well, I think I'll just go in and say hello. And I didn't even bring my briefcase with me. I just walked in, and big smile on your face. Okay, what are you going to sell me today?
Exactly.
That was unbelievable. What do you think I did?
What'd you do?
Well, I quickly thought of something to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when they say, what are you going to sell me today? I mean, that's what better greeting can you have than that?
Right.
So, and we happen to have some packages available, and they had a sale coming up. So it worked out just fine, thank you. Did you have a favorite client?
A favorite client? Oh, my goodness. Well, Anna's Closet has always been fun to talk to.
Lucy?
Lucy's great.
Yeah. And what a nice-looking shop.
Oh, yeah. Cute clothes.
And she's always promotional-minded.
Yeah.
You know, takes advantage of Third Thursday and things like that. Yeah, I like Lucy Schweitzer. Also a dancer. Also a director.
I didn't know plays. That.
Oh, yeah. She's very talented in every phase of the thing. Have you ever been in any plays?
I've never been in a play.
Have you ever had a desire to be in theater?
I once auditioned for a one act, but I didn't make the cut.
Okay. So you worked with the local folks in KYMN Radio, got to know, I would imagine, a whole bunch of people, different than the clientele that you had with farmers.
Right.
So after you a lot of people in when you're in sales, direct sales, they can't take rejection. No thank you, no, get out of here, whatever. You got to have a thick skin. But boy, that when you make a sale, it's like a high. So after 6 months, did you decide this is not for me? You weren't having success, but maybe enjoyed what you were doing?
Well, yeah, with Farmers Insurance, I wasn't having as much success because the insurance competition was already in town, having two other farmers' agencies here. I had more success selling radio ads.
And what did you do after KYMN?
Well, now I'm painting on silk scarves full-time, so I am teaching classes and hosting parties. I had an event up in Duluth where I painted on silk for an antique shop for a live event they had. I had a silk painting event at the Cal recently where people could come down and have some drinks and paint for fun. So I'm organizing events at the Guild and trying to work with different senior centers to get people painting on silk of all ages.
Wow. Well, should we play another song?
Yes, I have another song for you.
Okay.
This one.
Just one more?
Just one more.
Okay, is it Irish?
It's another Swedish tune from my
Swedish
Northern Roots Jam.
Okay.
So this one is Josefine's Dopvals, which means Josephine's Baptism Waltz. It's a Swedish waltz from Vasen, which is in southern Sweden.
Okay. I'm ready to listen.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's a Swedish melody as performed by Anna Chance on KYMN Radio at 11 before 11 o'clock on your radio station. There's a place up in St. Paul that's called Swede Hollow. Have you ever heard of that?
I've never heard of Swede Hollow. Nope.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering how they have little festivals of how it would go for you to go up there and do your Swede song, Swede Hollow.
Right.
So when you got done with KYMN Radio, you got into almost self-employment?
Yep.
Now, I may boldly ask, and you certainly don't have to answer, but how do you make a living painting scarves?
Well, you get a mixture of commission work, people who want you to paint at live events, classes.
Paint what?
At live events. So if they have an open house night or something, or an opening for an event, then they'll say, will you come paint your silk for this much amount of money? And people can paint on the silk with you. So people will join me and we'll be painting while dancing a lot of the times. I have people paint with either one paintbrush at a time or two, and they can shake their hips, stomp their feet, and get the paint flowing on the silk.
Okay. And that, do you have something coming up in the immediate future?
In the immediate future, there is an open house night happening at my art studio space in Faribault. There's an a cappella group called Due North coming to sing on March 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. It's $7, and it's bring your own beer, and soda and water is provided.
And where's that going to be at?
The Upper East Side Gallery in Faribault at 213 Central Avenue.
Okay. 213 Central Avenue.
Right next.
Is that by the library?
It's near the library on the side of town near the river, right by the Crack of Dawn Bakery.
Okay. All right. So you go down there and then people buy the scarves after you're done painting them?
Oftentimes the business owner whose venue I had the event set up at will have the scarves for themselves after they're done being painted.
Oh, okay. Is that hard to paint on scarves?
Anyone can do it as long as you're able to hold a paintbrush. So I've had painters as young as 3 years old and as old as 80.
So you have to move the brushes fast?
You don't have to. You can. There's two different styles of silk painting. One style, you draw your own design, let it dry for 24 hours, and color it in, which is more advanced. But the painting that I often have people do is just adding color, so you can just put paint on the paintbrushes and dance while you paint.
Is that scarf you're wearing anything like that?
Yep. So the one I'm wearing right now has a medley of colors on it.
Yeah, but it has a pattern.
It has a dotted pattern. The dots are made of silk, and the space between the dots is made of rayon.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, you know, you paint everything that doesn't look like a white dot. You know, that old joke, you know. So show at the Arts Guild or places at like Central Park during Defeat of Jesse James Days?
So in the summertime, I hope to have my silk scarf set out in Central Park or at Carleton's campus or downtown so people can just walk by and try painting on the silk for themselves, because I really like it to be an integrative experience where people can interact.
Is that men and women?
Anyone can paint on
children.
Silk. Yep.
Yeah. And what does that cost?
Well, if I'm doing a free event, it's free. But generally, if people wanted to come to the cow, for example, the owner of the cow pays the fee for me to set up and for the cost of the scarves, and then people can come in and paint for free. But at the open house a cappella performance on the 30th, for example, it's $7.
Okay. And do you get to take the scarf with you when you're done?
If you do a private class with me, then yes, you can. So if you pay $49, you can paint your own scarf.
Oh, okay.
And then I take it home and steam it and wash out the excess dye and return it.
Okay, so people can just have the experience of a brush on silk, or they can literally have the experience and then purchase a finished product.
Exactly. Then they can wear their art home.
Yeah, cool. A final break on the Wayne Eddy Affair, and then we are going to bid farewell to our guest this morning, the lovely, you don't mind if I call you lovely, do you?
Oh, you can call me lovely.
All right. The lovely Anna Chance.
Mulligan's Landscaping is proud to be in the landscape green industry. Mulligan's is a complete landscape and irrigation design and build company. Is it time for a new driveway? Have Mulligan's certified ICPI installers create a new paver driveway for you. And while they're at it, they can also build that backyard living area you've always wanted. Check Mulligan's on the web at mulliganslandscaping.com or visit them at their office just 5 miles west of Northfield on Highway 19. It's time to stop smoking once and for all by attending the Mark Patrick Hypnosis Seminar today in Northfield. In just 2 hours, you can finally become a lifelong non-smoker. Regardless of your past experience or how long you've been smoking, this program is designed so you can stop smoking without anxiety, irritability, or gaining weight. For only $49.99, you can become a non-smoker through hypnosis today at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield. Seminar is from 8 to 10 p.m. Registration starts at 7:30. Seating is limited, so get there early to reserve your spot. All forms of payment are accepted. For more information, go to markpatrickseminars.com. Over 500,000 people have attended their program. Try it. It can work for you. Almost everyone knows someone who has stopped smoking through hypnosis. Now that someone can be you. Attend the Mark Patrick Seminar today at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street in Northfield, and use the power of hypnosis to stop smoking now.
Good morning. We are coming towards the end of the Wayne Eddy Affair. It is 10:55, 4 minutes before 11 o'clock. My guest this morning is Anna Chance. And Anna, we know now what you do, and I'm wondering if you have ever got involved with any of the Twin Cities functions that may go on, St. Paul or Minneapolis, State Fair, things, you know, museums or anything like that?
I'm getting involved with some music festivals this summer, not in the northern direction, but toward the south at Harmony Park Music Garden, which is in Geneva, Minnesota. So there's a couple different music festivals that are happening that I'll have my silk painting at, and pull out my table and my silk, and people can join me and dance.
Now, is that something that you pay to get in, or they pay you to come?
For me, I pay to get in, but I often sell scarves when I'm there, too, so okay. I can cover my ticket costs.
So are you, I assume, a single woman?
Yes.
And you're living on your own?
Yep.
And you live in Northfield?
Yep.
Now, do you live, I don't need to know exactly where you live, but do you, like, rent a loft above one of the stores in downtown, or do you have a condo, or how does that work for you?
I'm renting a house right now.
A house?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Business must be great.
Well, good enough for me to get the basement.
Yeah, okay, the basement, all right. Over on the west side, east side?
Over on the east side.
Okay. You like the east side?
Yeah, it's a great part of town.
Okay, I used to live on the east side. On the end of 6th Street.
There you go.
You know where that is?
Is that the cul-de-sac that comes to a dead end?
Yes. The last house on the left with the red door.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah, many years ago. Yeah, I sold it. It was a duplex. As a matter of fact, a woman that was the archivist for Carleton College rented the upstairs of that duplex from me.
Wow.
And she was quite the lady, quite the lady. I have a lot of stories. I liked her, and we got along. But she thought I was, you know, not a Carleton graduate.
Oh, yeah.
So, if you know what I mean. Okay. So, are you going on a vacation in the near future? Going to go to Ireland or Scotland or Norway or any of those countries that your background's from?
I wish. The only traveling plans I have are to go to Duluth again for Earth Day to do some silk painting up there, to go to Missouri, and to go to California.
Okay. California? Do you like the state of California?
It's a beautiful place to go in the winter.
Do you like the politics of California?
I don't know very much about the politics of California.
Okay. All right. So do you go to home for Christmas? Do you spend it with your mom or your dad or both?
It always changes for Christmas. I don't think I've ever had Christmas twice in a row in the same place because my parents are divorced. So I might see my mom or my dad or go with my significant other if I have one to their family.
Oh, so. You've got a significant other.
I don't, but in the past I have.
Okay. Okay, so your mom and dad, did they get along?
They get along reasonably well, courteously.
Yeah, okay. Now, compared to when they first split up. Well, you're only four.
Right.
So, I mean, what do you know at four? Well, it sounds like you've had a very successful life. You're obviously a great student. And, you know, you got that education. Did you have any particular favorite professor at Carleton College?
Oh, I loved the professors I went abroad to Australia and New Zealand with. Matt Rand, Dan Hernandez, Mark McCone.
What were you studying over there?
I was studying biology, and we were doing different studies of populations of bees, kangaroos, and different plants.
I would imagine there were a whole bunch of different plants over in Australia.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I've never seen over there.
And they have a lot of desert-like land. Did you tie a wallaby down?
I didn't tie a wallaby down, but I did pet a kangaroo.
Okay. You get a kick out of that?
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. I do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And good luck, and hopefully you'll have a big success in regards to your scarves and your music. Once again, this violin is amazing. It's I'm trying to figure out how old is that. It's 325 years old. No.
305.
Wow. Don't lose it.
I won't lose it.
All right. See you tomorrow on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junk or vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Join Jeff Johnson, Terry Knight, and Tim McNiff on the KYMN Morning Show weekdays 6 to 9 here on 95.1 The One.
Slipped away. I didn't mean to keep you waiting. Seemed the time just slipped away. My body was in the next room. As for my soul, well, I just can't say. I've been running through the calm. The stars are heavy and dry. Stars are heavy and dry. You can't do nothing well unless you sit on down and try. Ain't no use in complaining. It never does change a thing. Ain't no use in complaining. It never does change a thing.
boyfriend, well, I'm left here to listen. I hear you calling his name, I hear the stutter, I've